Buying a home is one of the most significant decisions we make in our lives. And behind the scenes, there are crucial figures working tirelessly to make those dreams a reality. The Mortgage Loan Officer. These professionals play a pivotal role in the home buying process, helping individuals and families navigate the intricate world of mortgage financing. Today, we explore the world of mortgage loan officers, the challenges they face, and the expertise they bring to the table. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. George Evans. Welcome, George. Welcome. Like that intro?
Very nice. Thank you. Yes.
Nice. It was good. Good intro, right?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Usually I hit him with the siren, but I didn't want to overdo it today.
Okay. We'll use it in a minute.
I've known you for about 7 years.
A little more, I think.
George is a mortgage loan officer. Can you tell our listeners a bit about yourself, your background, and how you got started in the mortgage industry?
Well, there's not a lot of people in the industry that start as young as I did. I started when I was 18. I basically was exposed to the banking system through my family. My mother's side of the family, they used to own a small bank in South America. And my grandmother always told me, make sure you work for a bank or end up working for a bank. Mm-hmm. So when I was 18, I got a job at a bank. And I started understanding the system internally, how it works. And I realized people that make the most money were people that were in the commission basis. And I started doing training. I finished my college during that time, and I started doing training with them for becoming a loan officer. And that took me into, evolved into developing real estate and also doing other types of lending, real estate related. So 20 years later, 25 years later, you know, I'm still doing the same thing. I enjoy it. I love it. And, you know, I have a vast knowledge of pretty much everything that has to do with purchasing, selling, lending, and everything that has to do with basically becoming rich through real estate.
Are there two types of mortgage loan lenders? Because I know when I go to Chase, they're always asking me, hey, you want to look into buying a house versus
directly? We're all in the same field doing the same job. Basically, I'm a mortgage broker, so I basically work with several different banks as opposed to a guy at Chase that only works with Chase Bank. They can only do loans through Chase. They're licensed to only do loans through Chase. Mm-hmm. I'm licensed to do loans with several different banks that I believe at the end of the day, it actually helps the consumer get a better deal.
So they work 9 to 5. What's your hours like?
I'm on call 24/7.
24/7.
Like a doctor, yeah. Yeah. It's not, real estate is not a 9 to 5 job. Yeah. Sometimes you find out on a Friday at 5 o'clock you need more documentation from a borrower, and then you have to call them over the weekend. You have to work with them. Sometimes I find myself driving to the property to find the owner, discussing the situation and getting the paperwork I need so it can be turned in on Monday. You know, I give white glove service to my clients. And I also deal with very high net worth individuals, so they expect the extra effort, you know.
So you get randomly can get calls at like 9-10 o'clock at night?
Yeah, I've done it. Yeah, I've done like as crazy as flying to San Francisco to sign loan documents. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, when the money is there and you have to, the opportunity is there, you know. Success is it's nothing but opportunity meeting the right circumstances, you know. So you have to make it happen. When it calls you to do it, then you do it.
When you got into this, what was your short-term and your long-term goal?
Well, when I got into this, I was, like I said, I was like 18, 19 years old. So my goals were to become a loan officer because I saw those guys driving the nice cars and everything. I bought my first Ferrari when I was 23.
Oh, damn, really?
Yeah. So that actually, that was a big incentive for me. Then I bought some real estate when I was 24. You know, I made mistakes along the way. You know, I bought a 10-unit building in Hollywood that ended up being a fiasco. I was 26 years old then, right by KTLA 5. Yeah, and it was just a nightmare. I ended up with bad tenants, and you know, somebody said they fell. So it's like, yeah, there's a lot of things that you don't think about when you buy real estate that you have to be aware. Now that with the experience I have, now I look at everything, you know, much more carefully. And I actually give advice to people, especially younger folks in their 20s who want to buy real estate. I always tell them, like, you should get a duplex.
Okay.
Not a house, just a duplex. So you can start creating rental income right away. A year later, you can buy another one.
He's giving me some tips. For our listeners, could you explain the the role of a mortgage loan officer, some of the key responsibilities involved?
Well, a mortgage loan officer basically represents the bank in lending the money to a consumer who is trying to acquire a piece of real estate, whether it's a house or a building. The responsibility of a loan officer is to make sure that the borrower meets the criteria that the bank is looking for. Whether you work directly for the bank or you act as a mortgage broker working as a middleman between the consumer and the bank, you still have to obey certain regulations, certain rules that the consumer must meet. And it's your job as a loan officer to educate the consumer as to what is needed to ensure that you have a smooth transaction. And also sort of calculate the ratios of income to make sure that the person is not wasting their time. Because if they're trying to buy a $1 million home, mm-hmm. they only qualify for $500,000, then there's no point in that individual pursuing a loan application. So it is important to do the numbers and do some due diligence before you present the loan package to the bank.
Okay. As far as the market trend, I know the real estate market is constantly evolving. What are some current trends or changes in the mortgage industry that potential home buyers or those looking to refinance should be aware of?
Well, right now we have, everybody is hoping that we're going to have a crash in the real estate market, but I personally don't believe that's going to happen. We don't have the same ingredients we had back in 2008. We don't have a major lender doing loans irresponsibly like some of the banks did back in 2008. So now we have new regulations, new lending guidelines that have prevented the market from going in that direction. So on top of that, we have a solid 37% or so of homes in the United States that are free and clear.
Wow.
Which means that those folks don't get affected by interest rates. So when you have all those things combined with the majority of the folks out there also that have mortgages are under 5%. I think it's like 60% or so of people, or maybe a little higher. And then another 40% or so of the folks out there with a mortgage, or maybe even 50% that have rates under 4%. There's no need to panic. I mean, the people are cruising with their mortgage payments, you know? Now, the fact that we're having other economic, challenges with, this year being a year where we're going to end up voting, and that usually creates also fluctuations in the market. We're going to see probably interest rates come down, in my opinion, by the third quarter of this year. I also believe that a lot of this stuff is pre-planned to some degree. So I do believe by the third quarter of 2024, we're going to see rates again, probably in the high fours, maybe low fives.
So if someone has a high interest rate now, it can get lower down, or they have to refinance?
I think that if people are sitting on 5%, 6% rates, they don't have to do anything really. But people that are sitting on 8% rate, 8.5% rates, they're going to see a benefit in the next few months. And these are folks that probably bought sometime last year. That's why they have that such high interest rate.
I see.
And then the other folks that are like selling their homes, that perhaps the home, they're going to profit from selling the home, but their rate is 4%. They're not going to be able to get a 4% again. So they have to factor that into the sales price probably, and make sure that whatever they get out of their sales proceeds are going to help them, buy the next home. So, for investors, none of this matters. People that buy investment properties for business, for business purposes, for tenancy or for, renting them out or commercial real estate, those folks are not really affected by any of this.
Jeez, that was...
It's a lot of information.
A lot, and it was also intimidating. I mean, as a mortgage officer, how do you guide your clients through this various process? I mean, what advice can you give someone going through the home financing process for the first time?
Right. So I think the best thing to do is, first of all, it's always the right time to buy. There's no such thing as I'm going to wait until rates go down or until... It's always the right time to buy. There's no such thing as a wrong time to buy. You just have to always make sure that you're getting a good deal. Whatever the current market demands, that's what you get, because housing is shrinking. There's less and less houses available. So this waiting game of I'm going to wait until the rates go down, it's counterproductive. At some point, it's going to hurt you more than help you. There's a lot of folks I know that were sitting at the sidelines for a long time waiting for interest rates to go down, and they missed out. They missed on the boat.
They missed the boat.
Yeah, they missed the boat. Yeah, yeah. You can, you know, make one of your sounds. You know, but in reality, it's this is the right time to buy. Buy now. Here's an interesting thing for all the Angelinos out there, all the people here in LA. This is actually this is a golden nugget for you.
Golden nugget. Okay. Listen up.
Downtown LA will always be the center of Los Angeles as an economic center. That's where all the big buildings, they all have law firms, big banks, you know, property management companies that handle all of LA County. They're all based out of downtown. So downtown will always be the money center. Mm-hmm. Always. Okay. Besides Beverly Hills, of course. But so what you do is housing around downtown, meaning if you go 1 mile, maybe 2 miles, in a circle around downtown LA, that's the real estate that will always be moving. Because that's the real estate where people live there that work in downtown. And what, housing is more affordable.
What about that abandoned building they have down there? Everybody's graffitiing.
Well, that's
that's not moving. No one's moving in.
No, no, that's yeah, that's a problem on its own. That's, my understanding is a Chinese corporation abandoned the building due to the Chinese government not wanting them to continue to do business in America. So they just left. That's my understanding. I don't know if I'm correct on that, but maybe some of your audience members know the better story, but it's going to cost about $2 billion to bring that up to code.
Damn.
And so far, I think it's cost $3 million just to fence it.
Wow.
Trying to prevent accidents. But but that's a isolated case, you know? What I'm talking about is if you want to invest in real estate and you want to have something that will probably increase in value and you will for sure have tenants always, is if you go 1 or 2 miles in a circle around downtown LA, anywhere, and you'll always be able to find a duplex under $700,000, maybe $750,000.
Really?
Yeah.
That cheap?
Where you can actually make money. There's folks that know this, and that's why that's the only areas they invest, because it's a for sure, you know, if you're a landlord, that's a great area because people there, they're workers. They work in downtown. They have to live, you know, near downtown. So there's always opportunities, you know, and also for folks to want to buy a duplex, like I said, and then rent out one of the units, you can go an FHA loan, 3.5% down. Which, let's say you buy something for $700,000 or so, it'll probably be somewhere between $24,000 and $25,000 as a down payment. I haven't calculated right now, but I mean, I'm assuming that's about right. You get into a duplex, you get some of the rents on the other unit, you live there for 1 year, they require you to be there for 1 year, and then you buy the next one. You save that year, all that money. And you buy the next one, and you could be in 5 years, you could own 5 duplexes. That's 10 units that could generate income for you, and that eventually you could sell and make a profit, you know? My advice is always to buy real estate as young as you can be and sell also fairly young, meaning...
Like you did.
Well, yeah.
Your building.
You have to, yeah, you have to... You have to sell your stuff at some point. I don't believe in holding forever because I don't think there's a real benefit to it unless your rents are just so good, you know. But I think you need to profit from your investment, and eventually, I think 10 years, you know. So let's say you buy for 5 years and then you hold them for about 10 years, and you'll make a lot of money, and then you move on. You know, you do something else with your money.
As far as your clients, how do you build trust with your clients? I mean... How do you, what's your communication process like? How do you,
you know? I'm a firm believer of face-to-face meetings. I think it's very important. I think when you do face-to-face, you're able to have the other individual, the consumer, meet you and see your abilities, you know, your knowledge. It's a lot of things that you are not able to do when you are on the phone. However, you know, sometimes, you know, people are out of state, then you have to actually just do things on the phone. But I think it's very important to do a face-to-face meeting. It's been a big part of my success to just meet people in person. I think it's very valuable. And not to say that that closes every single deal, but it enables the folks to make the right decision, you know.
And you get that connection.
Right. And also, you know, listening to the consumer is very important. And I think it's very difficult sometimes to just listen to consumers on the phone. I think when you're face-to-face, you ask the right questions, like what you're doing right now with me. And and then you somehow get the answers. And as you listen, many times you'll get other questions.
Yeah.
And you'll get other answers. The key is to listen as much as you can your customer to what he has to say. You'll find all your answers right there that will enable you to provide the right product. You know, whether you're selling a house or selling a mortgage or selling a car, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you could be trying to sell an SUV to someone who doesn't need it, you know? So if you listen to their needs, oh, you know, I go biking every weekend. Oh, I know I go snowboarding or I do this or I do that. Then the SUV is for you, sir, you know? But if they tell you like, oh, I only go, you know, I go partying on the weekends and I don't do any sports or I don't do anything, then, hey, maybe a sports car is good for you, sir. You know what I mean?
A Ferrari.
Right. I mean, you just, you have to listen to the person on the other side and you'll get all your answers. It makes the job a lot easier too, because you're able to match your product with the consumer.
Mm, he's giving you some vital tips here. Your challenges in the industry. Can you share a challenging situation you encounter as a mortgage loan officer and how you navigated to provide the best outcome for your client?
There's always challenges on a daily basis with different files, with different issues.
Not What's the biggest one you come across all the time?
I can't really talk about it without getting to it.
Understandable.
Yeah, I have to act sometimes like a priest with my clients. I do handle a lot of high-end people. And yeah, but, you know, there's always challenges that come up, last-minute questions and things like that from underwriting and the banks or or just things people forget, you know? I'll give you an example. I'm trying to fund a loan in December, and this guy forgot that his brother was actually on title, and his brother had actually filed for bankruptcy. So I'm like, how could you forget about that?
You know, he must not talk to his brother.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, he owned a little percentage of the property. Anyhow, we got that result, but it was just like a last minute thing that showed up. And next thing you know, it's like, wait a minute, we got to figure this out. Who's this guy on title? Yeah, but there's always challenges that come up. And it's the ability of the loan officer to have perseverance and also the skills and the knowledge to convince the other side that it's not a challenge. It's just a temporary setback, and then you move on. Yeah, there's always plenty of opportunity to be challenged in this business. And it's up to you to seek the right answers and get it done.
Can you share one of your most challenging stories that you faced and overcame?
I'll tell you something that is, this is a, this is a true story, actually. This is the great story, actually, and involves Malibu. I think this was about 1998 or maybe 99. I was really, really young, and I was introduced to a client who owned a property that included a vineyard, you know. And he couldn't get a mortgage because property was 177 acres. It was just large. And banks didn't want to lend on so much land. They want to lend on a house, not on them. So anyhow, I figured out a way to do it. We basically, I believe we subdivided the parcels of land. We gave him just enough money. So he was able to actually bring on a lawsuit against the county of LA. At the time, it was a prohibition law. You couldn't have wineries in Los Angeles County, especially in Malibu.
Wow.
And he won. But I was able to enable him to do that lawsuit because I was able to give him the money that he needed. And once he won, this is the reason why there are wineries in Malibu now. So I had a lot to do with that. You know, like old Calamigos, I think, is one of them.
Okay.
And, yeah. And Rosenthal Winery, which is the one that actually He's the one that actually won.
What's the one that used to have Stanley the giraffe? Malibu.
Oh, that was Malibu Wines.
Yeah.
Yeah, Malibu Wines. Yeah, that's actually a good spot too. Anyhow, so so when my client won the lawsuit, it benefited the entire county, benefited specifically Malibu. So all these folks that were, you know, that had avocado ranches or other types of farming, they decided to become vineyards.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we have now all these beautiful places to go to, you know, and I feel proud to be to have been involved with that.
That's very fascinating. For our listeners listening, how do they find the perfect mortgage loan officer? I mean, there's so many out there, just like there's so many real estate agents out there. How do they find George Evans?
Well,
someone of your stature and knowledge.
I think that experience is very, very important, you know. And you could be in the hands of someone who doesn't have any experience, and it could really cost you dearly.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important to try to get pre-approved. So if you walk into your local bank and just ask your loan officer that works, say, hey, I want to get pre-approved. If you see that he's not capable of giving you a pre-approval letter, then he's not going to be capable of doing the transaction once you find the property.
So you're saying it would be better to find a direct mortgage loan officer versus going to the bank if he can't help you out?
No, either way. I think, you know, either way you can get, if the individual that works, if you, first of all, if you walk into your local bank, there's always a benefit because you're, let's say you bank at Bank of America. You walk into Bank of America and the loan officer seems to know what he's doing. You tell him you want to apply for a pre-approval. They'll ask you for all your documentation. If this gentleman is not able to give you, or lady, he's not able to give you a pre-approval letter within 48 hours, more than likely that person doesn't know what they're doing. Then you move on to the next.
The next bank, or try to find someone outside the bank?
Maybe a mortgage broker. You can Google mortgage brokers. You know, find a candidate for you to interview. Like, hey, you start out with the same question. Can you do a pre-approval for me? You know? I mean, they're a little bit time-consuming. Without a property.
How long does the process take from start to finish?
It should only take a week.
Really?
If you provide the documentation that's needed. You know, self-employed borrowers, two-year tax returns, 2 months bank statements, a profit and loss for your business for this year, year to date. If you are an employee, then you need your W-2s for the last 2 years, your pay stubs, a couple of months bank statements also to show.
How much savings should one have if they're looking to buy, let's say, $700,000 home?
Yeah, 3.5% of that. So whatever that is, I think $24,000. You just need your down payment, maybe a couple of months equal to the PITI, which is principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. So if you're, let's say you need $24,000 for your down payment, your payment is $3,500, you need another $7,000 as reserves, so you need a total of $31,000.
So if you need to get the best rates, I would suggest contact George. Could you get them good rates?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You can get them good rates?
Absolutely. Yeah, we got I have a team of three folks in my company, in my office.
Okay. And,
we shop for the best possible deals.
Got it.
Yeah. Good especially to know. With this first-time home buyers, the FHA programs, I do, interestingly enough, I do very, very high-end stuff, and I do very first-time home buyer programs as well.
I heard now it's kind of hard for first-time home buyers to get approved for homes because everything's so difficult.
It's not difficult. It boils down to, can you afford the monthly payment?
Mm-hmm.
This is why I'm saying a duplex is a great help. Because you get extra income from that other unit. So that helps the person qualify.
Okay.
Sounds like you're in the market, Nick.
I might be. Guys, I might be. Who needs a home? For our listeners listening who are considering a career as a mortgage loan officer, what is the best advice you can give them?
Well, I think that it's an amazing field. It's very saturated, like everything else, you know. But if you really care about people in general and you're capable of learning and have the patience to learn about real estate, it could be a great lifetime career, like it's been for me. You know, first of all, I think you need to get your real estate license. what I would do if I were to start all over again, if I was giving myself advice and I'm 19 years old or 20, 21, whatever, I would say get your real estate license, okay? So you get some basic knowledge in real estate. And then try to work for a mortgage broker and do FHA lending. FHA lending, there's a lot more folks that qualify for FHA than regular conventional. And just, you know, go to Mixer, start meeting real estate professionals. Put your name out there, show them that you can do the job. And
where can they find these Mixers at to meet these professionals? Is there a website? Instagram.
Just, like I said, a face-to-face is very, very important. So what I would do is I would focus on certain offices. Let's say you find an office, Century 21, Montebello. You find out that there's 30 people there. You grab three of them at a time and tell them, hey, I'm a loan officer with ABC Mortgage. I would love to take you to a happy hour, you and so-and-so in the office. Can we meet up? You take two or three people at a time. I think it's very important to do a group thing.
Yes.
Two or three people at a time. Take them out. You know, it might cost you a couple of bucks in the beginning, but eventually it will pay off. You know? See that.
Proactive.
They're out there trying to meet people. You know, not everything is just about rate. Sometimes it's about, can you get the job done? And can you get the job done? And can you do it with a smile on your face?
Yeah.
You know, it's a very stressful, because remember, real estate agents are writing on that commission check. So it's your job as a loan officer to make sure that they get paid. Not only you get paid, but they get paid.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to that you're writing on.
Okay. Well, there you go, folks. There you have it. That concludes the episode. Thank you, George Evans, mortgage loan officer. George, would you like to do a plug, leave your information so people can find you, reach out to you?
Yeah, you can find me at George Evans on Instagram. And yeah, I'd be happy to answer any questions and help anybody grow their financial future.
Or help them get a loan for their next house or their first house.
Absolutely, first time or, you know, your mansion.
Yeah. Thank you for listening. Thank you, George, for sharing your insight into the world of mortgage loan officers. So if you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe, leave a review, contact George. He can help you answer all your questions, and stay tuned for some more episodes on Can I Talk Now? I'm your host, Nicholas Ballard, and thank you, George, again. Thank you. Been a pleasure.